Call this meeting to order at 6:30 p.m. August 16, 2016. Call this meeting toward the Land and Natural Resources Cultural Preservation Committee. We'll stand for our invocation. I'd like to ask Mr. Dale Beaver if you'd offer that for us.
Sure. Your Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together, Lord, and do the tribe's business, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with us tonight, Lord. We just ask for your grace and mercy, Lord, but also your wisdom and your guidance tonight, Lord. And Lord, all these things we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Next we have a roll call. Yazzie.
Daryl Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Del Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Shahola.
Here.
Mitch Jack. Chairman, I got four present, one absent.
Four present, one absent. That constitutes a quorum. Any business transacted tonight would be valid. Next we have is approval of minutes. I give the committee a couple of minutes to review. Ask for a motion.
Chairman, I make a motion to accept the minutes with any necessary changes.
Motion been made by Mark Randolph. Accept the minutes with any added changes.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got three in favor, zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. Those minutes have been approved for August 15, 2016. Next order of business is the Conservation District, which was postponed on 8/15/2016. Chris?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We went back to the drawing board today with the Conservation District's budget, and they did agree to put it back to $300,000, and I believe a copy was submitted to the to the committee for their review, and we have corrected the salary and wages, the full time with the part time, the requirements by the IRS to pay was formerly being paid out of stipend, out of a part time salary and part time fringe. And then the bottom value is set at $300,000, and it did approved by Ruby.
Oh, okay.
So everything was changed and iterated?
According to
last month.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Any questions on that?
Make a motion to pass Conservation District Department's FY 2017 budget.
Motion has been made to for to do pass on the budget for Conservation District by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Shahola. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, got three in favor, zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. All right, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Next we have is the Secretary of Interior Affairs. That would be you.
Okay. We got a long haul here.
Mm-hmm.
They put together a justification with the mission statement for the committee, Chairman. It's really a very simple budget with the funding source is indirect costs. So you see on the indirect cost line, there'll be no indirect costs associated with the salary, and ours did not require the 10% reduction, although we did reduce the budget, looks like around $4,000. You do see an increase in the salary and wages, primarily due to the fact that we brought on an attorney to be the Assistant Secretary of Interior because of all the legal issues that Mr. Jesse Allen kind of took him over from the oil and gas department and paid him out of our, you know, within the budget itself while maintaining the reduction, overall reduction. We have reduced, I guess the travel will stay the same. The mileage went up a little bit just because of some kind of prediction that the gas prices and the miles that we traveled by the Assistant Secretary. There's not a lot of money in this particular budget. You know, with indirect costs funded budgets, you're pretty limited on what you can spend the money out of. So
anybody have any questions?
I just got
it. Oh, yes, go ahead, Dale.
Chris?
Yes.
Since this is your first year in that position, it's basically stayed the same since last year, right? In a roundabout, I mean, there's nothing major that I can see.
Right.
But since you're kind of just now settled into the position, do you foresee, like, maybe even next year, anything drastically changing or within the next maybe year or 2 years, see anything that you'd like to see change that might reflect on your budget?
You know, the funding source, you know, with it being funded out of indirect costs, you know, you are limited in terms of kind of what you can do. Everything has to be kind of an overarching for all the departments within the department tier. So you can't purchase small things that may affect one department. I think, you know, if we had a little bit more flexibility to maybe use the contractual funds or some of the funding sources to, you know, maybe do a plan, some planning in this area or some planning in this area that was maybe specifically affect a particular department, that would be advantageous. And I think for this year's budget, we can manage this budget. But I think next year, particularly within the Department of Interior Affairs, every budget will be critiqued and very well put together for the next budget cycle, especially now we've had an opportunity to get in for the first 8 months. I've seen some errors on people's budgets. They did, you know, that, like Ruby said previously, they have a tendency to copy and paste what they did last year. That's why you see the taxes for property over in Muskogee that they're supposed to be paid on a budget every year, even though it's been in trust for 18 years. So I think we need to really get back to focusing on the budget and getting into the numbers and then getting with the managers early on and really working with them and teaching them about the budgetary process so that we don't have the county department inundated with mid-year modifications and going back to the council for modifications in excess of 10%. Because if you're budgeting properly, you should be able to remedy that situation. So I think that's probably the main thing, is helping people budget and then being able to use some of our funds in a little bit more flexible way to help the organization.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Chris, I just want to ask another question. I guess that talking about the efficiency.
Yes, sir.
So in order to have efficiency, you have to have, you know, good employees. So you're going to adhere to the annual employee evaluation, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
About the employee evaluations, are they done according to when you were hired? Or it seemed like when I was working for the tribe as a director, I would get one just kind of randomly, you know, instead of, I always thought it should be done, every employee should be done October 1st. But I would just get, I just get an email every once in a while saying, you need to do a employee evaluation on this person. And so I thought, well, that's kind of odd. But I was just wondering, how is that determined? Who makes the employee evaluate, when an employee should be evaluated? I think it should be evaluated every, you know, every fiscal year, at the beginning of every fiscal year, but it just makes it easier that way. But does anybody know?
Well, I think it's, you know, I don't think there's a, it's based on the matriculation date or if it's just a requirement annually, so that they look at the employees that, from an annual basis, who, if anybody has gotten their, you know, evaluation. But, you know, to Representative Beaver's point is I've worked for the nation for 13 years, and I think I've maybe had one or two evaluations ever. And we've sat through some meetings recently about when we terminate somebody and they terminate them for cause, they're still able to go out and get unemployment, which costs the nation. And if we're documenting that and you know, we're not making the evaluation futile, you know, we need to go back to those evaluations and say, you know, that there's a pattern of this. And so what happens when we'll fire somebody and they'll go back to their evaluation, there'll be a glowing evaluation, all fives, and we fire them 2 months later. It's like, well, you know, their last evaluation was great. So I think that's where we need to really strengthen the HR at Creek Nation. We need to drive that message home and train people and, you know, get back to the basics on some of these things.
Yes.
Mr. Asbell, can you tell us some of your accomplishments? I mean, what comes to mind when you think of your accomplishments?
For this year?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, the organization is in a much better position than it was in January when I came in. There's, I think, 18 different departments. It depends on how you calculate that out. You know, some entities have three. For example, risk management, emergency management, armored services, that may be counted three, or it may just be counted as one. Depends on how you look at it. But up and down the organization, we are very in a much better spot than we were in January. We have we brought on an attorney from the AG's office, Carly. She's going to be over our oil and gas and also our natural resources. That's going to be managed on a daily basis, not just on the side as an extra task. We brought the Bureau back over, strengthened the Bureau's, the relationship with the Bureau. We've really gotten with the Realty Department and have driven home the fact that we have to get these inventories out and get documentation going out the door so we can make improvements for people's lives. We hired a new employee just, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think he's put out 12 inventories in 3 weeks since he's been here. And, you know, you're looking at a backlog that's been in the 300s for years. The Council House project is funded and moved forward. We're going to get a $1 million credit back on the project. We just loaded the budget today on that. The Okemah Hospital project is really is back on track, and we still have going to have some financial issues with that later on. The Eufaula Clinic is doing well. We had some hiccups with the reintegration project. That's back on track. You know, it's been a rocky road, and it's a lot of decisions were made in the 11th hour of December 31st, and we got stuck with them. And to try to figure out a very complex organization in a snapshot of time when you walk in the first day is a difficult task. And but I will say we have some great employees within the Department of Interior Affairs, and I'm proud and, you know, love to come to work every day and want to continue to serve as Secretary of Interior Affairs as long as the council wants me to be here. And I think that if we can get the plans and allow some patience and let some things come to fruition, you're going to see some really good things coming out from the Department of Interior Affairs.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any questions over the budget?
I make a motion that we pass the Secretary of Interior's budget for 2017.
Motion been made to pass the Secretary of Interior Affairs budget for 2017 by Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Shihola. Roll call.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. Next we have is Agricultural Resources.
Yes, sir. I want to bring Carly up. She's going to be managing that on a daily basis, and I think it'd be an opportunity to introduce you to her. And I think she was here last night, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chairman and council members. I'm excited to be in this position. My undergraduate degree is in agribusiness, and it's a real thrill for me to be able to apply the knowledge and experience that I've gained to this point to be able to work with these programs and give them the intensive management that they require and deserve to be profitable enterprises for the nation. So.
What's the first one you have there?
We have a consolidated budget for agricultural resources. The farm and the Dustin Farm and the Hannah Farm are both incorporated within this.
Mm-hmm.
I have the breakout for the Dustin Farm on top here.
Okay. Okay. We have 2 employees there, is that correct?
That's correct.
And the livestock sales, where does that come at, the revenue? And that's, is it 81? Is that what it was?
Actually, we just had some sales. We were holding on to some calves to take to market, and we got our receipts on that. So our current to date for the year is 138,900.
Okay. Are there any differences from last year's to this year's that's to be of note?
We, in order to maintain our 10% budgetary reduction and also to be completely funded out of our enterprise budget, we've significantly reduced our livestock purchases. One of the goals that we are going to have is to continue to be funded out of enterprise income, and that'll require a lot. You'll see a much leaner farm operation from both Dustin and Hannah in order to accomplish that. So one of the ways that we looked at that was reducing our livestock purchases and work on maintaining our herd through our breeding program. We'll hold back some heifers that look like they're going to be quality animals and continue in that vein.
Okay, that was from 15 to, you took it all out right there, I guess.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also working on identifying some other cost-saving opportunities. One of the things we are going to be doing is getting our vehicles maintained through fleet services, especially since they've expanded their repertoire of services that are available for fleet management.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to point out also, you know, with Carla's background as an attorney, she's has an agribusiness, ag econ degree. My undergraduate degree was ag econ. She's a natural fit for the position because in modern, you know, agribusiness, it's very complex, and you got to use the USDA, Farm Service Agency, and all these entities to your strategic benefit. We have not taken a comprehensive strategic approach to the nation's land holdings, whether that's fallow land that's just sitting there that really is not generating any income. Or being utilized for any particular purpose, or the interconnection between Hannah and the ranch. They just operate completely independent of one another, and they should be really operating hand in glove. And I think with having her on board, having somebody focus on the resources of the nation, that we can strategically use those and bring back income, and we can bring about jobs through the agribusiness sector that, and then utilize, USDA programs strategically for a plan that we developed. And for some reason, you know, we've been program driven from the government side and say, hey, oh, we have a great idea. There's a butterfly farm. You know, we think you guys should take this. Or we have this particular program ethanol program, but this would be good for y'all. We want to make sure that we produce a feasibility study and a strategic plan for the agribusiness from the Muskoka Nation that we develop and that we know we can manage, and then go out and seek those funds to fit our program, not the other way around. And I think the other way around is when you get in trouble and it's just not successful.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? The one, the contractual, you go up to 45 from 20. What does the contractual consist of? What's your justification on that one?
For the Dustin Farm?
Yes.
We have some contractual employees that we use for some day-to-day when we get busy. Okay. We also, Chris, is the fencing budget included in that?
Yeah, the fencing budget is not necessarily included in that, but what it is, it's, when the fencing is fairly slow, then we would move those guys down, and when the farm operations are more labor intensive, we would roll people down there. And,
okay.
And so that's what it's for.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions?
We ever go get some buffalo?
We can explore that opportunity. I know we have a code that's currently in place, and we'll take a look at what the legal requirements of it are. And we're also part of the strategic plan is going to be a feasibility study to see what land base that we have available and what kind of stock we can accommodate.
And, Mr. Chairman, I think another thing is that once we look at the land holdings, and if we develop an agribusiness plan around that, then we can actually look at strategic land acquisitions where. We're not just willy-nilly buying pieces of property that have really no long-term value for the nation. So we can add to our land base that would increase our herd size, or maybe increase our production grain, whatever it might be. We want to make sure that we're looking at those and not looking at other properties that. So we get calls every single day by realtors wanting to sell something, and just have to tell them, hey, we're not in the business right now of buying anything. We're trying to figure out what we need. Yeah. And also with the land buyback program, we utilize that very strategically as well, so we can add to our base and then add to some of the areas that we want maybe economically develop. So.
And to tag on to that, one of the things we're going to look at is making sure that the location of the properties that we may be interested in acquiring is going to be a fit for use, and then also, depending upon what the use is going to be in a location where it's going to be feasible for that use. We currently have quite a few properties that we're using for hay. The distance that our farm workers are having to travel to be able to bale that and transport it is, in some areas, is a little bit cost prohibitive. So we're looking at some cost saving opportunities by land acquisitions that are closer to the location.
More questions? Thomas?
No, I have no questions.
What percentage of our land are we is utilized, whether it's Dustin or Hannah? That we are actually?
The farm at Hannah is 400 acres, and about 275 of those acres are arable. Our Dustin Ranch, we have quite a few acres that are not being utilized, but that's due to their nature as being, they're very heavily wooded, and to be able to clear those the way we need them to, it's a very high fuel cost to be able to get out there and run the dozer. However, we might have some opportunities with the Conservation Commission to work with them in order to clear those lands to make them either more arable or fit for other agricultural use.
Thank you. Yes.
I went to Intertribal not this last time, the time before, they were discussing like our EMPs, our Head Starts, that in an ideal world we would be furnishing our own vegetables, all right. Things that are organic, things that are good for you, and hopefully we can move in that direction sometime.
I have a meeting to attend on Thursday with Intertribal Agricultural Council, and I've spoken with their technical assistance advisor about what kind of added value crops we might be able to incorporate into our growth structure.
Right, thank you.
And we'll also be addressing water and irrigation needs as well.
Okay. I have maybe something I might throw out to you. The other night we met with some of the ceremonial ground, leaders, and they're having problems with acquiring herbs and whatever. Is it possible that some of the nation's land could be utilized to maybe plant what they need for future uses?
I think that's a great idea, and I think that's something that we can work towards. We have some good property available at Hannah and some other property as well. We may even be looking at the possibility of acquiring some greenhouses, so that would be an excellent opportunity to do that.
All right, just something to think
about. Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, no more questions on the Dustin. I guess we can look at the Hannah Farm. Looks like that one's just pretty much basic, kind of the same.
Fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm. Looks like your contractual is kind of lowered.
Slightly depressed, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And that is just kind of a reflection of the labor needs that we have out there. We're currently producing quite a few different crops that we're going to take a look at, whether it's going to continue to be feasible to do that and how we might be able to integrate Hannah and Dustin to work together. You'll notice that our supplies are consistent from last year. We have a pretty significant pigweed problem out at the farm right now that's requiring some pretty intensive management practices. So that's why you see that number being consistent.
Any questions?
Yeah, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have problems with the wild hogs in that area around Hannah?
Previously, there was a very significant problem. However, EC has been working very closely with the state to do feral hog management. I think last time I was out at the farm, he had mentioned that the previous years there were well into the hundreds of animals that they were encountering, and they've gotten that significantly down below 50 this year. So there's been a very good consistent management practice to handle that feral hog problem.
Well, how are they doing that?
If they notice that there are any disturbances that can be attributed to feral hogs, the state coordinator is called. He comes out and hunts the animals and disposes of them, and they're required to be removed from the site or buried. We liked for them to be removed at one point when the management was more intensive. Some of the animals were sent for testing and they were found to be positive for all three strains of hepatitis. So not able to use the meat. They're, you know, infectious diseases, don't want to spread that or continue to circulate it, so we dispose of them.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I want to note that we also have a conservation grant for this year that we went out and bought traps, and you know, we buy feed through that grant. We have somebody that monitors the traps, so he sends in pictures of the hogs that, you know, he traps and kills every week. So, you know, we're getting 14, 20 hogs every week, you know, every 2 weeks, something like that. It's pretty significant, really. Most of them are small now, but it's really helping, though.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Is there a bear around there? I heard there was a bear around there.
There's a bear. Yes. She apparently was making her way down one of the watermelon rolls, just cracking them open and getting a few bites. So
a bear and a cub, so there's got to be a male somewhere.
I don't know if they had mentioned they had seen a cub this year or not, but they did see mama bear, so.
Okay.
They won't bother them, though. They won't do anything to the bears, will they?
I doubt it. I don't think they're interested in that. I think, you know, we're interested in, you know, maintaining and protecting our crop, but I don't think it's something that we're going to seriously pursue.
Well, you know, the bear population in the state of Oklahoma has increased over the last several years, and so they've actually introduced an archery season. You know, I think there's maybe 12 permits for the year. So it's usually down in the southeast, but they are moving up into the Cottonmusi Mountains and then, you know, in moving a little bit north of the west. So it's pretty neat, though.
Yeah.
Until you see it for yourself in the wild. They're nice to read about.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, kill the bears.
All right. Any other questions? Okay.
Motion to put the agriculture resources budget.
Okay, motion been made to approve the budget. By Tom Shahola, seconded by Dale Weaver. Roll call.
Tom Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Weaver.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against that. Budget passes. Next we have is natural resources.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to bring up Victoria
D'Alejo. You guys know me. I've been here for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our natural resources
department is a self-governance compact, and it protects, manages, and fences the nation's trust land and restricted land. So when we have any issues with the realty department, Sonia gets with us on like adverse possession or anything like that. We go out there. We use these funds to send our three fencing contractors out there and to fence the project. Some of the properties that we've fenced in the past is the Turner Bear property. Mm-hmm. That one was a big one. There was 40 acres on Mission Street, the nation's property that we fenced, cleaned up a little. So this is what we use this project for. The difference this year is you'll see we are hiring one of the contractors on to utilize the nation's vehicle and equipment. Right now, they currently aren't utilizing any of the nation's property, and so we're hiring him on to work with Realty, you know, more one-on-one. So that's what that is.
What will you be doing?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, when we first came in January, there was some concerns by the fleet management about contractors, contract labor, driving the nation's vehicles because they're not insured. I mean, and so there's a department in conjunction with the fleet management department said you can't do it. So these guys are basically operating without the ability to drive, you know, equipment and things that they need to, you know, basically cars on the road. They can, you know, they can operate equipment, but, and there's also the Fair Labor Standards Act. This is an individual who's been involved with the nation on the program for a long time. He's a good employee. He shows up every day. And so we felt compelled to go ahead and put him on as a full-time employee at this salary, and that he can be the supervisor of the crew. He can manage the crew on a daily basis versus, you know, them coming into my office and asking me, where am I going to go on this day? Where we can set out a schedule and a plan so they just implement that. And he can utilize the trucks that from our farm, stuff like that we have now.
Okay. Any questions?
No questions. Make the motion to pass the Natural Resources Budget 2017.
Motion made to pass the Natural Resource 2017 budget by Mark Randolph. Second by Dale Beaver. Roll call.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Jehola?
Yes.
Cameron, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Realty and Trust Services.
We had a... thank you, Chairman, for allowing me to do this one more time. Looks like this is the last one I have to do. But the Sonia McIntosh is at a very important and strategic meeting with the Indian Land Working Group in Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And the timing of that conference and the timing of this budget hearing is conflicted. And due to the importance of her attending that, I told her that I would sit in and cover the Realty and Trust Services. Do have an employee that can talk about programmatic aspects of the department, but I was going to kind of go through the budget. I did make some notes here, so. So, I'm not sure which budget you have first there.
The realty to 1.76.
I just want to read this. I think... one of the things I was trying to do, and we'll do a much better job next year, is to drive home every department with a comprehensive strategic mission statement so that every decision that's made throughout the year say, hey, are we fulfilling our mission? I mean, and also create some camaraderie amongst employees about in being proud to be a realty, an officer of the realty department, or an employee of the Department of Interior Affairs. You know, where, you know, people have a little bit of increase in the morale, and I think it'll increase some of the workload or the output on the work. But if I could just read this shortly, you know, the main function of the real estate program is to provide assistance and prudent recommendations to Indian individuals in the management of the Indian Trust and restricted land situated within the Muscogee Creek Nation of Oklahoma. Within the real estate program, we also have the land operations program, appraisal program, and we're responsible for paying property taxes. The real estate program has placed a great emphasis on placing tribal property, USA in trust, and has made this a priority within our office. Our office has also made great steps in assisting our citizens with the partitioning of their properties through district court. We have assisted them with surveys of their properties and our fiduciary responsibilities to generate revenue for both individuals and the tribe. In addition, our office is in the process of preparing probate packages for both restricted and trust land while preserving our land records. I think that's a really good synopsis of what the real estate department does. These four or five budgets are strategically designed to drive home their mission. So in terms of, are you looking at land operations?
I see next one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can look at any. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
So this is a self-governance funded part of their budget. It's called land operations. We have two employees in that area. They are land analysts, and they do the field inspections, lease compliance, oil gas lease compliance, and also get involved with boundary line disputes and partitioning the property. So a lot of their work, a lot of their findings drive a lot of the work in the rest of the department. And Ms. Holby, if I say something incorrectly, please correct me. But so the distribution of the budget is, you know, it's very similar to what is taking place in the past. It is a self-governance funded budget. And I don't see anything. Surveys is probably the biggest line item other than salary, $140,000. And that's required for partitioning, boundary line disputes, and which happens all the time. You know, it's.
We actually, I know this year we have actually had to stop because our funds are running really low, I believe. And so we've had to try to push people back and say we'll have to wait till after October to do it. But
yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of individuals, you know, that like they said, she said they want to partition their land. We have to have it surveyed. We have to, but a lot of that, yeah.
And also the Cobell settlement really drove a lot of more activity in the real estate department as people were scurrying around to probate their properties, and so that created a lot more activity. And that's one of the reasons you have a pretty good backlog on the probates and the inventories on that side.
Yes.
What is the status on the Cobell now? Besides the land back, is that's in the process of going through here?
Yes, sir.
You know, for legislation, if you want to pursue it?
Yeah, so the we opted in on the land buyback program. We sent a letter in. We updated the information with Chief Floyd's information on there earlier this year. Katie Grounds is one of the liaisons. She's actually a Creek citizen. We've reached out to her, and they've have updated several times at the intertribal. Actually, the meeting that Sonya's at today, the members of the Department of Interior there, United States Department of Interior, and the complexities associated with five tribes are still trying to work out. We are scheduled to be part of the buyback for 2020. In the meantime, what we're trying to do is input as much land information into TAMS as possible, because the land will not be eligible for the buyback unless it's in TAMS. So our duty or our job between now and 2020 is to just really hit home as much inputting, or I think it's called encoding the property into TAMS, and then also develop that strategic plan about the properties and encode the properties that we would think would be strategic about in terms of land acquisition, whether or not it may be around churches or ceremonial grounds or along major thoroughfares. We would try to strategically acquire them, because there's not going to be enough money to acquire all the fractionated lands. It's going to be parsed out.
Okay, now back on the buyback. On the buyback, will that be full ownership? on the partial?
The if the fractionated land the tribe would own.
Okay, now is that restricted in fee land? I know if it's in restricted status at one time, and then over what series of probates, then some of the heirs become unrestricted. Then is that unrestricted portion included in the buyback, or just the restricted portion?
I would have to defer to Jesse Allen.
It's just the restricted.
Just the restricted, okay. So the nation would not be interested in buying or have interest in the tract if it's restricted then.
We could purchase the restricted with the buyback funds, which would be advantageous, and then we could determine who owns the other half, possibly use tribal funds to purchase the other half as well.
Okay.
So we get half of it using the Cobell lawsuit money.
Okay.
And the other thing we could do is if the nation becomes an interest holder if it doesn't become part of the buyback program, then we could do a forced partition.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what
that would be strategic as well.
That's what others do to us.
Exactly.
A forced partition. Okay. Well, that's down the road.
Sure.
So we'll get into that later. Just curious. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on this section?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr.
Haslow,
sure. The guilty portion of the proposed salary plan, could you please change the grade on the guilty manager to fit the current salary, please?
You took my question.
Let me see.
Let me see it.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
It's on the
Schedule A.
On the Schedule A for
right here.
Really?
Okay. Okay.
Sure.
Please just
reclassify. Yes, sir. Guess somebody's gonna get a pay cut. Now I'll fix that.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Just to make one point, and we talked about HR, the role HR plays in the nation. Nation also plays a huge role in the Schedule A's. We want to get to the point where a lot of this information is being driven by the HR department, not by the department level. So if you have a secretary who has a finite set of skills, that secretary is getting paid the same at whether or not they work within the Department of Interior Affairs or they work in another entity here at the nation. So I think we have a lot of work to do, but I think that's one of the things that you can really save a lot of money on from a personnel standpoint. So you don't have a limited skill set position that's making a significant amount of money that would be, it goes to the merit, not into the position, not to the person. I think that would be helpful.
You have a decrease in the property taxes. What's different on that?
Let me see here.
I can speak to that.
Okay.
I've been at the AG's office.
Okay.
I've identified quite a few pieces of property. I know that the nation was paying taxes on that weren't actually due. I'm particularly thinking of one of Wagner County Department of Health that there was a tax bill that we've been paying, but never was questioned. When we finally called over, they're like, "Oh yeah, you guys don't know this. Don't worry about it." So,
okay.
Yeah, I think that may have an overage every year.
Okay.
That was an easy thing for them to reduce down.
Mm-hmm.
And we have also had properties go into trust that it has sitting there.
Okay.
I think we've had two or three that are have been in trust within the last month. But prior to that, I think three went and emailed Principal Chief.
Okay.
So that does reduce as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes.
Chris, I went to a meeting a few years ago and they're talking about putting land in trust. Now, if I remember right, the BIA, or let's say we have a piece of land and we do a survey on it, our own survey, right? And then when we turn the application into the BIA, does the BIA, you have to use their own survey? That trust application uses a certain type of survey, right? Like a cadastral survey. And so the BIA only accepts the survey from that person, right? And there's only like one surveyor for this whole area, is that?
I think two, yeah.
There's two.
But one thing we're doing is we have a Creek citizen that works for our tribal construction department. His name is Aaron Vanderslice, and for $1,000 through the regular budget, we're able to send him to the online class, and he can get certified that, and he can actually do those surveys in house for free.
Will the BIA accept that?
Right. So yeah, he's going to the school that the BIA to do the BIA type surveys, and so we want to be able to, you know, we already have him on staff, and sometimes he's underutilized, and he wants to help, and so we're sending him to that school so that if he needs to step in and assist, then he can do that, and then it should save the nation, you know, quite a bit of money, and we have a very talented person doing the work anyways, and he's going to do it right because he's assisting, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Got one question. Mm-hmm. You know approximately how much taxes are paying on Fountainhead?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last I recall, Mr. Chairman, it was about $13,000 a year, I think, Fountainhead.
Okay.
So the bigger properties we're paying taxes on right now is Fountainhead, Riverwalk, and Country Club here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sonia had just texted me, and also Riverbend is getting ready to go into trust. So that is another property that they pay taxes on. I think last year they paid about $90,000 in property taxes. So that's also a reason that the property taxes went down.
Okay.
Them and Fountainhead is going to go into trust.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, what else you got there?
So we have a the appraisals, that's for fee appraisals. So for example, you know, we're in the process of you know, buying the church for the Mogollon community, so we know we're doing the appraisal on that property. And so there's anytime there's a, you know, a new acquisition of property, that would be paid out of this. And they also do appraisals out of the self-governance funds.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be there's another budget here, but this. So the only one that's really I'm not exactly sure this was a question that came up during the budget process was on the gaming funded budget for realty. I think formerly it was funded out of self-governance. There was a question about why it was changed. I think the accounting department may be able to answer that better than I. And I think that they had raised the question as well. But all the employees pretty much, if you look at the schedule, they are paid out of this. They pay the property taxes. And the contractual line item, which sits about $90,000, they pay third-party contracts and also third-party legal. So they have a lot of non-protons. You have boundary line disputes that require specific legal action. And so, you know, we retain an attorney through the department to, you know, settle those so we can get the property to trust. We also do, under the contractual, you know, we only have one environmental person, you know, so that they may get a little bit inundated with updating some of these environmental impact statements and environmental assessments, and so they may go to a third party for environmental assessments.
Any questions? All right, no questions on that one.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it.
Can I make a motion to approve the Realty and Trust Services budget?
Motion been made to approve the Realty and Trust Services budget by Thomas Chihola, seconded by Mark Randolph. Roll call.
Thomas Chihola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Cameron got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The budget passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right, next we have is Transportation Federal Roads, Kirk Carson. He's all federal.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I'm trying to think of what it was.
What's your?
Hello there.
So many, though.
I know, that's different ones. Okay. All right. I guess first one we have on our list is Charter Services.
Okay. Yeah, this is the four areas that fall under transportation or charter, transit, transportation, federal roads. And the charter is the one section that is funded by gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Our budget is very similar. Last year it's down, it's reduced from 476 to 404. And most of that is salaries and fringe.
Mm-hmm.
But, currently, we're at on the salaries page that follows. It shows four employees we've recently reduced down to three since the time of this printing. So, and we'll see how our demand goes. We can still operate with the three. And if the demand requires anyway to replace the fourth.
Okay.
We also have... it generates some income. So here there's $104,000 is what they had estimated in figures that we would generate from our charter this year. So that's in there as well.
Questions on this one?
Chairman, I got
one. Oh, yes.
Ms. Carson, can you just tell me real quick, if, say, a group wants to rent this charter bus, how the fee is developed? How it's come about?
Red Hicks is a supervisor on that, and if anyone wishes to rent the bus, we have him contact Red Hicks, and he looks at the mileage, and he looks at the number of days that he would have to pay salary and per diem for the driver, and it's based on that. I think there's a small charge for cleaning the onboard restroom at the end of the trip, too.
And the money that's generated from that goes into what you were just talking about, the $104,000?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And what's that $104,000 used for? Does it go back into the general fund, or does it go back into...
We have a program income line, and we use that money.
Okay. I feel like it calls all the time, you know, why are they charging me for a driver whenever we pay drivers? And so they think that, you know, they're double dipping all the time. And I tell them that they're not, but I just want to make sure where that money goes to.
I've heard a number of times that our rates are
considerably lower than the private bus lines. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mark, any questions on this part? All right, next. Okay. Transit.
Transit. In transit, we receive, I think it's $909,000 and some change from the Federal Transit Administration for our operation. We also use $500,000 of our highways monies. We diverted over for our transit operations to help supplement it. So it's fully operated through federal funds. I think we've had as many as 17 drivers this past year working at the same time. Well, I'll take that back. I guess 14 would be transit drivers. We had some charter bus drivers. We also have the operation at the regional office down in Wetumpka. I believe there's three down there. So we also generate some program income off of the bus fares. And that's included in there as well. Let's see. Like $75,000 is what they had estimated for this coming year. Which, oops.
Questions on this one? No questions. All right, next one you have.
Okay.
5 looks like it. Charter services. The IRR program income.
Okay. That is part of our federal roads, mm-hmm. our force account crew. When we use our force account crew on our federal projects, we can capture money, our expenses on the job, and we can put that back into our program. Our labor, we can charge a fee for use of the equipment that we own, and that's put back into this pot of money here.
Mm-hmm. So your road, our force, that's what they get that from. Mm-hmm. Utilize that, okay.
And then immediately behind that, there's a page enterprise. We've done some work for private entities. Contractors have hired us to do primarily milling services with the large milling machine
mm-hmm.
that the nation purchased for us. And so that's where that comes from. And I would say, probably last year and the year before, that number may be pretty close, that $320,000. We've slowed down a little bit. We've been doing a lot of widening work on our projects, and we've built a couple of walking trails, so we haven't had much time to devote to private work. So,
mm-hmm.
so our money from enterprises is down.
So like you know, Mr. Chair, just inject the example of that, you know, I think Steve Delvoye called a while back, you know, and I think they were doing a what's it called when you shaving of the asphalt, you know, that stuff's like gold. So you know, we would maybe go over there and say, yeah, we'll do it, and we'll do this mile stretch. We have the machine, and then we can charge the city maybe just a little bit less than we get on our other contractor, and then we keep all the shavings, then we can use those shavings and reconfigure those shavings and use them on our own projects. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win when we get into those situations, and that's why they bought that machine. And we did have to get some people, we had some people leave from the force count, and getting some people retrained, that may have created some of the slowdown, but I think now that we have everyone trained properly, we'll get back into the business of doing that a little more.
Okay, the Federal Roads Construction, or Road Force, I guess, is the program.
Road Force, we received $9.3 million from the federal government for our road program.
Mm-hmm.
And of that $9.3 million, we used approximately $2.3 million on our Road Force crew to cover salaries and fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Supplies, fuel, and there's a complete breakdown there. But that's where the money comes from. We received that $9.3 million, and so that $2.3 million comes from that those funds.
Mm-hmm. It's all your positions filled.
If you look at the two columns, mm-hmm. on the far right,
mm-hmm.
so the second to last one would be our current positions,
mm-hmm.
and then we have room in our org chart for some more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the process of hiring a laborer, and I would like to hire at least one more equipment operator.
Okay. So right now you're saying the ones are blank, they are...
Open.
Yes, sir. Okay. So I was wondering if that was a. So you're still looking for a diesel mechanic and a mechanic's helper, or are you looking into getting that?
We'd received a very large amount of money from the Federal Transit Administration 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We considered building a maintenance facility over there. Mm-hmm. And I recently looked at the billing, and I didn't think the amount of billing. You know, the amount of mechanic work that we sent out justified the expenditure.
Okay.
And so I'm looking to use that money for different purposes associated with our transit program. And so I don't believe I will fill those two positions, diesel mechanic or the helper.
Okay. And I know last year that's what the talk was when Charlie was here, and he was talking about doing that, and especially mm-hmm. with the building, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Any questions on this part? All right, what we got next? Okay. Tim?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have our transportation department. It consists of Mose Lindsay, Amy Hill, and Sylvia McCool. And it's kind of a planning function. They're the ones who work with us to get our routes put in the inventory, in the federal inventory,
mm-hmm.
and develop our TIP every year, our transportation improvement plan, and planning functions. And so that comes, this money comes out of that $9.3 million as well.
Motion been made to pass the Transportation Federal Roads Budget 2017 by Dale Beaver. Got a second?
Second.
Second by Thomas Shaholla. Roll call.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shaholla?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
No budget cuts he couldn't buy this year.
We don't want to hear that. All right, find my other one here. Here we go. Tribal construction, Jesse.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions for you.
Good.
Oh, let's start here.
Tribal construction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we had to make some personnel, you know, decisions earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm the interim tribal construction manager. So I'm overseeing, you know, all the projects that we have going on right now. And we're currently in the process of looking to hire a tribal construction director, but we're wanting to make, you know, the correct decision because this is, you know, an important job for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that's the right person that'll fit, you know, with where we're wanting to go with that.
Are you actively in searching for one now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we've talked to some, and we're just trying to. And there's a lot of ways we can go with this. You know, I see it more as kind of an owner's rep type of position and not actually the, you know, self-performing work that was done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in more kind of a oversight and management division instead of actually actively on the construction project, at least for, you know, this, the government side of things.
Do you have a senior project manager now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, all those positions are filled except for the director position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Is there a time period on the selection?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to get it as soon as possible. Like I said, we've had some applicants. They filled. They sent in their resumes and everything, and we've talked to some. It's just you know, during budget time, we're trying to get that all finalized. Plus, we have a lot of ongoing projects that Chris and I are, you know, and with our project managers are actively, you know, managing. So,
okay, thank you.
What is the one of the requirements for selecting one? What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for someone with vast experience working, you know, with, you know, well, they don't have to necessarily be a licensed architect or engineer,
mm-hmm.
but if they do have that, that'd be a good asset. But we're looking for someone that has experience with high-level projects, either working for a construction company or working for a oversight company such as, you know, PMG. We use them for the River Spirit expansion. Someone in that type of role to bring in where they have that level of experience to work with the large construction companies that when, you know, our end user groups have questions, we can negotiate and explain that, you know, to them as the user group.
Mm-hmm. Questions? Mark's happy. Okay. Dale?
Nothing.
Okay. No questions?
No questions.
All right.
Make a motion that we pass the Tribal Construction's 2017 budget.
Motion been made to pass the Tribal Construction budget for 2017 by Dale Beaver, seconded by Mark Randolph. Roll call.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Urhola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
All right, 3 in favor, 0 against. It passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next we have is Tribal Driveways. Where's Jimmy? All right, Jimmy.
Okie doke. Our budget's pretty well, it's pretty much the same except for due the 10% cut across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Still the same amount of employees. Like I said, other than in making the cuts where we could possibly, you know, afford to make the cuts at,
mm-hmm.
which this year, you know, we did have to make a cut in our land management, which is the gravel, mm-hmm. where we buy our gravel and tin horns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, you know, we were able to move some monies around to purchase a couple vehicles, so that is going to help our vehicle maintenance line item. Before we were able to get two new trucks, you know, we spent well over $15,000 to keep two trucks going just in a half a year. So, you know, it was to the point where we had to do something, or, you know, or what we had wouldn't even keep us going for a year. But, like I said, other than the cuts, everything's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you caught up on your backlog?
No.
Okay.
And no, caught up is nowhere close to any of them.
All right.
We currently have right at like 100 applications on hand to be completed. Uh-huh. We have completed 120 this year. We've probably just under opening like 100 graves so far for this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's by the time you get one, you get three more in, you know, as far as applications. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a constant flow of work. You know, like I tell everybody, we're doing them as fast as we can. Not that we're just throwing rock down and going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we're working on them as they should be, you know, before we put the rock down. So some people understand, some don't. We just know we haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a constant flow of work. You know.
All right. Thank you. Questions? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I just wanted to let the committee know that, you know, we have a lot of great employees at Cree Nation, but I would say I'll put Jimmy in, you know, as one of the top employees at Cree Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And his program goes under the radar for a lot of folks here, unless you have a funeral and they're out there, you know, digging a grave or putting a road in for a funeral or a service or putting a driveway in. And I just want to say that, you know, we have some great employees at Cree Nation, and there's a lot of negativity that, you know, you see out there, but people don't see all the things that happen every single day. That it's kind of like I said, and when I'm on, you know, being on the city council, you know, we'll tear down an ugly house, and people don't focus on the beautiness of the beautiful neighborhood with the house gone. They're focused on that next ugly house that, you know, we got to get that one. And it's kind of the way Cree Nation, you know, you have a lot of problems, a lot of things that come that arise, and, you know, we'll remedy something and we'll take care of it, and we'll do a really good job on that. And people focus on the next negative, but I just want to give Jim some accolades, because he is one hard worker, and mm-hmm. proud to have him as a member of the Department of Interior Affairs. Mm-hmm. So,
which we do have a good group of guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you're only good as the people underneath you. So, you know, I can ask them to do something, you know, and I know what to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do have a good group of guys right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we do appreciate your department and what you do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Jimmy
said he wants a raise. He don't want
to compliment.
Yeah.
Talk to these guys. Yeah. You know, it would be great to give them one, you know, mm-hmm. but they understand, like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's got that same cut across the board. Yeah. Nobody's going to turn it down, but, you know, but we do understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, the situation we're in.
Yes, sir. So. Appreciate you very much.
All right. Make a motion to approve the
Tribal Driveways budget.
Motion been made to approve Tribal Driveways budget 2017 by Thomas Yerhola. Second by Dale Beaver. Roll call.
Thomas Yerhola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. Said budget passes. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Next we have up is cultural preservation. Bring anybody with you?
No.
He wouldn't come or you didn't invite him?
I didn't know he could have two.
No. All right. Yours, you had your 10% also reduction.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did the followed the budget call, did 10% cut. We have three budgets here in the that you should have in front of you. Mm-hmm. The first is our gaming budget.
Okay.
First, just we have 17 staff in the Culture Preservation Department, and there are several areas within our department that we work with. The cemetery cleanup program, we provide services for tribal citizens and helping them identify or clean up our fence cemeteries, tree grinding, things like that. We also have our Tribal Historic Preservation Office. We review projects, construction projects in 12 states where Creek Nation has a historical area of interest. We also handle NAGPRA cases. We have an archaeology program. We do surveys for the tribe on tribal construction projects. We also have our library and archives. We provide genealogy assistance for citizens who would like to see what their tribal dolls enrollment card looks like and where they have land or their ancestors did. And then we also have a cultural GIS program. So we have 17 staff total. From the gaming budget, we have 7 employees that are funded through that budget. And we had about $163,000 cut from our gaming budget. And you can see our biggest cuts were with our travel budget and also our contracts. We eliminated a contract we had with the University of Alabama graduate student that was doing research in Tennessee to help us bridge the gap between archaeological knowledge that we have to help us make better claims for NAGPRA items in the state of Tennessee. We just couldn't afford to keep him this year.
Questions? Yeah, and that other part program.
Yeah, the next budget is our program income, and we receive program income from our TCNS coordinator, which is a tower notification system. So all cell phone towers that are put up within the Creek Nation jurisdiction, we review and make sure they're not going to impact any kind of Creek Nation sacred sites or burial grounds or ceremonial grounds, you know, anything like that. And we are able to charge a fee to review those projects. And so that's how we receive our program income.
Okay.
We also did a 10% cut on that budget as well. But we were able to put more in our travel and a little bit in contract to kind of make up for the 10% that was in the gaming budget.
Okay.
And we have 7 employees that are funded through our program funds. 7 are full-time and 3 are part-time.
Last one, the grant.
Yeah, the last budget is our grant we get yearly from the National Park Service. It's for the Tribal Historic Preservation Office, and we use half the salary of the TIPO position is taken from the grant, and the other half is from our program income. And majority of that is used for supplies and for travel for the TIPO to go to tribal consultations.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Who is our TIPO?
Corraine Lozapita.
Corraine Lozapita.
Yeah, she used to be the TCNS coordinator within our department. Uh-huh. But I was the former TIPO, and when I accepted the manager position, we promoted Corraine to be the TIPO.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Butler, I think you're doing a great job, and I appreciate you. If we could do more, what would it be? If you had more, are you content, or what more could we be doing?
Well, I think that we have a really strong program. I know that it's really advanced compared to other tribes, what they have. A lot of tribes have a TIPO, and they do everything. So we're very fortunate. We have four people, and we have our own tribal archaeologist, that not many tribes have that capability. So I'm really glad that we have the funding and support to continue what we're doing currently. I think that in the future we could use a NAGPRA person because we have so many NAGPRA claims that come in. It takes a lot of time. And NAGPRA cases can go from a year or more. We've recently kind of met a milestone for a NAGPRA claim that we made with the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. It's been 10 years in the making to bring home 96 ancestors and rebury them at Okmulgee National Monument. And we have 14 active claims we're working on, and I think if we had someone that was dedicated just to NAGPRA, that would help us be more active and better able to organize those NAGPRA claims.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? No questions?
I make a motion to pass cultural preservation budget 2017.
Motion been made to pass the cultural preservation budget 2017 by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Second by Dale Beaver. Roll call.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shaholo?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The budget passed.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right, next we have is Environmental Services, James.
I've got Sonny Hill with me. He's our newest hire, and he's like our grant compliance officer now.
So okay.
Fortunate to have him.
Appreciate you being here.
Sure.
Thank you. All right. Waste disposal.
Mm-hmm. That's our recycling budget that we have, and it's really turned out to be a pretty nice program. We've got 2.5 guys that work for 2 full times, 1 part time. And the recycling is really picked up this year. The routes are pretty full. We are making a little money on our cardboard. Mm-hmm. Right now. We're still trying to set up a revolving fund so we can do a little more. Mm-hmm. With that. It's growing pretty good. Like I say, they. The fees in there, if you look at the fees down there, we had $110,000 last year, and we dropped that to $70,000, but that's due to our dumpster program. That's where we take the line item out of that for the fees and the portage-ons. But we're thinking that we're going to make some money off of our dumpster program. We've got our new dumpsters on the ground. We've made 10 different trips to the landfill for the dumpsters. We've paid out $2,000 in dumpster fees, whereas if we had used our private contractor for those fees, it would have been about $5,000 or $6,000. So I think we're going to be able to cut that pretty good. Mm-hmm. We're still going to have the Port-a-John fee on there because we're not set up to take on that. Mm-hmm. But the dumpster fee will really come off there. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. That's a pretty good little chunk. If we can cut some more of that next year, we'll cut some more of that out too. As we get more, we're going to get some more dumpsters this year. And they're out at the churches and ceremonial grounds. Right now we're doing a community cleanup in Weleka. It went real well. We're looking for some more communities to do that. So we'll be hitting the community meetings to promote our recycling project and also our dumpsters. So that's where we're at with that. The first year we did that, I made the circuit with some of the communities, and I got the deer in the headlight looks. We're going to burn that. You know, we burn our trash. You know? What are you talking about? We got a family dump. But we're trying to get them away from that and put their trash where it needs to be. And we're not seeing as much as we did in the country anymore, like on side of the road and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's our goal. We'll get it off the road, get it out of the creek, you know, put it in one of our dumpsters or one of our collection sites. But that's our goal, is to get with the communities and maybe show up once a month for them to have a place to bring their collectibles or recyclables, and also maybe have a bin there for them to put some other items in if they need it, so need it. But we're not to that point yet, but we're going to get there, you know, so that's our goal. Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Sure.
Yes. At some time, would there be like scrap metal and all that thing? I mean, like, I've seen washers, I've seen dryers, I've seen tires, you know, at individual homes that I think would be nice, you know, someday to hopefully clean those up also.
Right.
I know you got to start the communities and you're started, but hopefully.
Right. Yeah, we can actually do that. We can make a separate bin like for metal or whatever, and we don't take white goods now, but we could set up some place where we could say we'll take white goods. It's hard for us right now because even the Holloman's downtown, they won't take them if they got Freon in them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to have somebody that'll unloosen the Freon and recapture the Freon. You know, but we could probably take washers and dryers and stoves and stuff, you know, as white goods. And we put in for a grant this year for a hazardous waste cleanup where we could take tires and stuff, but we just didn't get funded for it this year. But we'll apply for it again next year, you know, and that was for three collections, but we'll apply for it again next year.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
James, how many roll-offs do we got?
We got eight on the ground right now. We still got to pick one more up, mm-hmm. and they're all on the ground.
Are they 30-yard or?
We have four. We have four 20 yards and five 30 yards. So, and we've got some in the budget here to get some more for next year.
How many was bought with federal funds and how many was bought with tribal funds?
We bought four with the federal funds, and then we bought the five with the tribal funds.
In the future, are we looking into maybe trying to rent those roll-offs?
Oh yeah,
I know we can't do it with the ones we bought federal funds, but
with the tribal funds we can. And we've gotten calls already. As soon as we've seen them over there, they said, "Hey, can we use one?" I mean, the building that we're in is a housing building, and there's a dumpster there 365 days a year, mm-hmm. and they just fill it, and then they call them, they come dump it. You know, we could probably cut their cost in half if we just leave ours there. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's our goal. Construction services wants to use some housing on their teardowns. They use about four on a house. So if we could, you know, just keep bringing them and dumping them for them and whatnot, we'd use that. Because a dumpster is going to cost you $500 to get it on the ground. And then depending on where they got to go, it's another $100 for mileage. So it's about $600 if you use a private company whereas we can charge half that and still probably make some money. Because all the ones that we're dumping right now, it's costing us about $200 a dumpster, where we were paying $500-$600. So that's cut the cost by two-thirds right there. So that's a good stuff. Thank you.
What vehicle are you going to add on there?
It's a truck. It's a work truck over there for him. Oh. We have one, but it's 10 or 12 years old, mm-hmm. and it just needs to be replaced.
Okay.
You know, so at different events we have these alley cats that they do recycling at. People put their plastics in, and that truck pulls mm-hmm. it around. We were at the Woody Guthrie Festival in Okemo, and we were at the Pecan Festival down here, and we were at somewhere else, and we pull it and then let them just throw their plastics in there or cardboard and in the different bins, and then we can go back and get it. So once we go to a recycling event, we can take that box truck and then we can take that pickup with the alley cat behind it. So we're set up pretty good.
Do y'all on your paper recycling, is that shredded or how do y'all do that?
We like shredded. We're just about to the point where we're doing all shredded. We were getting some paper over at the recycle center, and it was pretty sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them, we said, you need to shred that because we can't have Social Security numbers and, you know, canceled checks and whatnot. So now we're employing, you got to shred that because some of it we were getting and it was pretty sensitive information on there. We can't guarantee a security if we bail it up and it's on the outside of the bail. So we said we don't want any Creek Nation information going out that could possibly come back on us. So we said you need to shred your paper. And some of them would say, we don't have a shredder. And I'd say, you get you one and put right by your desk there and shred that stuff. You know, I mean, we did buy a larger shredder. We'd like to have a commercial shredder, but, you know, that's another thing we need to talk about, too, later on. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how many times that guy from Tulsa comes down and shreds paper, and he charges $300 an hour.
Wow.
And all these departments do it. You know, I mean, even the AG's office and housing and the health, you know, you have to get rid of those files. And it has to be a secure cross-cut shredder. And that's what we don't have. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty expensive. But we're going to get one because we see that's a big need for us right here. When I see that truck coming, all I see is $300 an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, well, he getting $300 an hour. And all he does is sitting in his truck. And they bring it to him, he dumps it, and just waits for it to shred up. And then he'll give you a certificate that it's shredded, and, you know, that you got to have that to sign off. You know, kind of like a manifest. We shredded it for you. There you go. And they shred staples and all, so you really don't have to unstaple that. You know, whereas a regular shredder, you'd have to pull the staples out.
I got some old legislation. I could probably use them for about 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, so that's something we'd like to get, you know, later on down the road, down in the future. We'd like to have that.
Okay. So. Any questions on that one? All right, next one. What you got it on there? Refuse recovery?
That's the Axler, the dumpster program.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to show you guys this. I'm going to show you this on my phone because we haven't got it done yet. But we're going to, we were hoping we could get this done by your next council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting signage put on the dumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's going to look like. And so I don't know if we're going to get it done by this council meeting. We'll have it done by September. Have that council meeting, we'll bring our new truck and our bins, and we'll set it outside and let you guys. Because, hey, we're proud of that. We want them to know that that's us right there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have that correct seal. And, I just had a picture of the old one on there. But that's what we're going to do with it. We pretty much took some of that out because we didn't need the truck this year, but we do need a little bit of utilities, maintenance repair, some fuel purchases. We upped the fuel purchases because we got a late start this year because we had to wait so long on our truck, and then we had to wait on our dumpsters. And And we haven't really used a whole lot of fuel, but we got a pretty good idea we're going to use a lot of it next year. So that's why we upped our fuel to 15,000. So that's where we're at right there.
Any questions on that one? All right, next one.
Okay.
Your environmental. That's a, that federally funded on that one.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a that's the HOSDA one. From,
okay.
That we get our for doing the housing environmentals, and that's what we get. I guess it's been running pretty true to form the last few years. $732,686. I can almost say that in my sleep.
Okay. Any questions on that one? Okay. I believe that's it on yours, isn't it? Okay.
So.
No other questions? All right.
Make a motion to pass Environmental Services 2017 budget.
Motion been made to pass Environmental Services 2017 budget by Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Shola. Roll call.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
I got three in favor, zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming in.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Okay. Next, we have information technology postponed from 8/15/2016. Thank you.
One from Mitch. From Mitch. He's not here tonight.
I changed. Okay, I think this one might work tonight. We'll just start. Like I said last night, I wanted to start just using the justifications for the employees. We went from a staff of 12 to 22 with the merge of the Indian Health Services. We currently have all positions filled except for one network administrator, and we'll be posting for that in October. Okay, and obviously our fringe. There will I didn't allocate any dollars for travel this year. I don't think there'll be much time for any travel this year. And on our supplies line, it did increase due to the integrating with the health department. They have the same amount of employees that we do. They'll have the same needs that we do as far as catering, any type of computers they may need, anything to keep helping the employees working on a day-to-day. Now, the $728,000 on the software licensing, on the very back page, I included a breakdown of that, as that comes from the IHS department. Due to the time constraints, there wasn't a lot of time to actually go over and try to reduce some of these costs or actually integrate them with some of the agreements that our department currently has. As of today, they no longer have an enterprise agreement with Microsoft. It expired in July. So we have a meeting set up with Microsoft next Tuesday to discuss integrating this agreement into one. They pay $250,000 a year, I pay $130,000. We have the same amount of employees. They're on an enterprise agreement. I'm on a standard. I want to bring them onto a standard. Worst case scenario, Microsoft says no. I can go ahead and move them onto my network and true up in a year, and it'll cost me another $150,000 in a year. So the Citrix servers, that's for their next-gen ProFarm pharmacy applications. Those are very high renewals. This is a Citrix farm, so those are kind of hard to break down, other than they do support the next gen and all of the applications that are used at the clinics. Their VM annual, they have a mixed environment from VM to Citrix to HP, which makes it really expensive to support it. They are paying a $37,000 maintenance on their VM. Their Cisco is all of their networking renewals for all their network switches. Today, they currently have 72 physical servers in their environment, which is why you see $125,000 cost, because it costs to keep the renewal and support on each one of those servers. What we're planning on doing is virtualizing all 72 servers into 5 hosts. Those hosts will cost around $180,000 to virtualize that whole environment. So that'll take care of that $125,000 yearly support renewal. But that's in phase 2 of this 4-phase project of transitioning health over into the tribal. Today, it's just getting them out of Lackey into the hospital with some contractual help and some of our internal staff. The other charges are for their UPS, which I don't quite understand that one, but I would prefer to buy a new UPS versus pay $10,000. But that, again, this was a short time to put this together, when you could yearly buy one for $5,000 versus paying $10,000. So we still have some discussions. I did remove a few things for their AirWatch. They've not actually implemented it yet, and we have Sophos here, so that's part of an encryption. Symantec is their current backup exec that they use for their backups, which is not a real reliable backup. Once we move them to a VMware environment, they will also be moved to a Veeam backup exec. So that'll be parallel with what we're doing today. We already have a DR site downtown where we offload all of our data every day, every night. So we have full offloads every single night. Today, the health department currently doesn't have a DR site, so this will help them greatly with keeping their data protected. Tracking is what we use today. We're going to integrate it and have one call center. So this is just some of their costs that I hope that we can reduce. Now, their Palo Alto firewall, which is further down, which is $26,000. I'm hoping to reduce that a great deal by putting them on our ASA firewalls here at the complex, and that should reduce that by, but it should go away because we pay a yearly fee for our ASAs. The Veronis is just a security app for insider threat protection on their clinical data servers. That's a nice application to have. We've been wanting it, so we're going to keep that one. It actually keeps up with who opens a file, who deletes a file, who's had access to that file through our Active Directory. So it's a very nice application to have. This last one, AT&T phone system, I'm not sure why it's just health. I don't know why they pay part of the phone system. We don't pay that. I just left a question mark. So I know they're going to need phones over there. They're not going to have access to our phones because they will be housed over at the medical center. Most of their staff, because they will be, they do have the bottom floor already. Fortunately, somewhere to go. Combined with my enterprise agreement, it's $130,000. That's what I'm hoping to keep keep them into an enterprise agreement through this year. Since they've already gone into a dark mode phase with Microsoft, it's hard to get out without paying a lot of money. So by incorporating them into our network, we should be able to save. And I can true up, like I said, next year and just end up paying maybe half of that amount. So that's why that software licensing is so high this year. On our vehicles, Health has two vehicles and one that they own. And we have one here at the campus. And Coweta uses theirs for off-site backup delivery daily. And we'll keep one vehicle at the medical center, and of course we'll keep ours here. We do have 30 remotes and as many clinics, MPLS remote sites, so we do make daily visits to all of these sites. So transportation is absolutely necessary. And then the vehicle maintenance, of course, is just to maintain the vehicles. The equipment lease rental will be for my copiers, and they currently don't have copier printer needs where they're going to be moving, as they'll be down on the basement floor of the hospital. So that'll be to provide them one also. Equipment maintenance repair did increase due to taking on another infrastructure. They'll have the same need for their maintenance for their servers, switches, routers, any new builds that they're building, which always requires some outside help on that configuration. I just kept the telephone numbers the same because I believe they're going to be using something at the hospital. We've not dug in that deep just yet. The communications line is our big one, and that's our fiber. It also is for all of our remote sites. Mine initially runs around $210,000, $20,000 a year. In looking at some of IHS's bills, they're currently sitting at a $350,000 fiber bill. So that kind of gives you an indication of what type of rates they're paying, but we do have a meeting with AT&T to have rates straight across the board. No difference in what I pay or what they pay. Obviously, they're paying quite a lot more. But they did miss out on a USECA grant that would have helped pay for most of their AT&T charges. So we'll be working on that. But for now, that's maybe a low number unless we can get these rates fixed with AT&T. Because they do have big, they have a 1 gig, I have a 250 meg fiber, so they've got a gig. Then they've got 45 meg circuits to all of their facilities. So there is a big cost in that. But with that USECA grant, that should cut that down to about 60%.
Is that something that you can, what's the term on that one there? How many years is it?
It's a yearly.
Just a yearly?
You have to apply for it every year, and then whatever they approve. But you have to meet all the requirements. And if AT&T is charging you $200,000, then if you get that USECA grant, they'll have to bill USECA to get. If it's a $200,000, they'll have to bill them the other $160,000.
Okay, all right.
And my gaming. On our software licenses for the nation, that's just for our annual supports for all of our Dell switches, our VMware, our Cisco switches. That's for our content filtering, our Sophos encryption, our Veeam backups, Trend, which is it's Endpoint now. That's our antivirus. So that's inclusive of all of our software. And fuel purchases, I do have a vehicle at the SRO that Shane I think it's just part of the SRO. Mm-hmm. And we just use about $500 a year for gas. Amos just does some quick stops around there. Communications is I pay 7 community centers internet bills monthly through legislation. So that's where that $10,000 is absorbed. The $150,000 is contractual. It actually went down. Kind of wish I had left it alone due to the transition of health. There may need to be some dollars to actually merge these two infrastructures. This is a very big job. It should be treated no less than an acquisition of another company. Two completely different silos of information, infrastructure, clientele. It's going to be huge. So that some of the dollars will be used for contractual services to get these two environments online. And also that is for some of our implementation fees for our paperless initiative, which is Laserfish. And our equipment line, I almost missed that one. That really did increase due to acquiring IHS. It's going to take a lot more hardware, and like I said, we're going to put them on a virtual environment. Those hosts cost $60,000 for 5. So it kind of depends on their data storage. We'll need some SAN Nimble boxes for their storage. I think they're sitting at about 14 terabyte right now for their home IHS, which isn't really pretty much when they've got hundreds of thousands of patient records. So we will have to purchase one of those, and those are anywhere from $64,000 to $81,000. So that's the increase in that, and that's just to make this move happen. And also our maintenance, if we our switches go out, a 48 port switch will cost me $10,000 to keep a building functioning. So that's where that cost is coming from.
Chief, on this, everything merging together here, I guess, from what we get from IHS, or I guess that their budget is non-existent now, I guess. And
I would say the funds from Indian Health Service, mm-hmm. Through self-governance. But I think what Cindy's referring to is how they applied the money in the past and some of the outdated equipment that must be replaced. Mm-hmm. We have no option on that. So I think she's come up with probably the best solution that can be made in this situation.
Okay.
You know, we've talked about the licensing of Microsoft and the encryption we're going to be doing. We've already done those here, so we'll be kind of bringing them into that. But it's going to take money. The good thing is, once it's done, we'll be done with that part.
Mm-hmm.
And when we, I'll be meeting with the Indian Health Service here, I guess next Tuesday, I think they're coming down. And so I'll be trying to get a breakout of what they have given us, if anything, in regard to money for equipment replacement. That's what I don't know. And that's, I don't know if you figured that one out either.
I don't. I haven't got an answer.
I don't know that they did. I did talk to the area director up there, and he said that we had taken all of our shares of IT from the Indian Health Service, so we would get, you know, basically nothing more than we have right now. However, if they make any kind of corporate-wide purchases, we should be taking, you know, part of that as well. We should be included in that. So that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
If they're replacing their equipment, we should be on the list. Shouldn't make any difference regarding tribal or federal.
Okay.
We should get that. So we'll be asking and see if we can get any reimbursement from that. But, you know, I'm glad she caught it when she did. Another 30 days, probably, and we would have had some, I mean, we could just be dead in the water. Like a ship with no engine, we would be adrift. If we were that close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions? I know that's the initial. What's the cost savings on all this as we, like, for the next 2-3 years, I guess? Is there going to be a significant amount of?
I would hope to see some of these support renewals, that $728,000, to at least be half of that. Possibly more, but with health, those are so unique, and
okay.
They really make their money off those support renewals. So I do see some of that cost coming down. That $350,000 on the enterprise license will definitely come down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dell will come down, because we're going to virtualize. We'll just P2V all those boxes and have them very neatly organized and have just one bill per year for all VM environments across the board.
All right.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
One thing we have talked about is the Cerner record package that they use. It's going to take, I'd say, at least 2 to 3 years to really get out of that if we decide to go to another package. So we're in it. There's no quick way to get out of it. It's expensive. It's cumbersome, clunky, I guess, another word. But we're just going to have to make the best out of that. And so I think what she's done in terms of getting some of the new closets put in, things like that, will keep it, I guess, in the background, have new equipment that will run the system then we'll separately just have to work with Cerner. We do have a claim in for Cerner for several million dollars, and we've talked about that. I think their solution was to apply that against future fees, but I've talked to the Attorney General. I want our money back, because we could then, if we got the money back, then we could have more capability to decide what we need to do rather than trying to pay forward on something that isn't working right now. We pay them, but we want money and not, you know, kind of in kind type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. No questions? Is that it?
That's all I have.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the information technology budget for 2017.
Motion been made to approve the information technology budget for 2017 by Dale Beaver. Seconded by Thomas Shahola. Roll call.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, at 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Appreciate you. Okay, we're down to other business. No other business. All budgets will be forwarded to BF&J. Make a roll call on that.
A motion.
Motion been made to forward these budgets to BF&J by Thomas Yohola, seconded by Dale Weaver. Roll call.
Thomas Yohola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Three in favor, zero against.
It. Motion passes. All right, now we're in other business. No other business, and down to announcements. One announcement is Thomas McIntosh's funeral would be Friday at 2:00 at Big Arbor Church, and also a wake service that Thursday evening at 7:00 at Big Arbor also. He was a, how many years was he here? 24 as a representative?
I don't know.
Yeah. But he was a World War II vet from the Navy. Talked with his son today, and he was, I guess, on the council for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But that will be Friday. Any other announcements? Yes.
I have a question. Do you know what funeral
home? Hun Black Merit. Yeah.
Hun Black Merit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Chief, I was going to ask on, do we need to make a statement on being with our flags being and have staff on that, or is there
to the staff?
Mm-hmm.
We could.
I know the plaza hasn't lowered her flag yet.
They haven't.
No.
Okay.
But I think the other ones are. I know out here has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a GSA responsibility. So
okay.
I'll make sure. Yeah, that's right. The GSA does that. No doubt.
No, I
don't.
Okay.
I think the only one they don't do is this bill.
All right. And I think they've requested the honor guard for that day. And I got with Thomas on them being out there that afternoon. All right. No other announcements? All right. We'll stand and have a benediction, which will serve as our adjournment. And then, Mr. Randolph, would you offer that, please?
Lord, I'm thankful for all your blessings. Thankful for the precious gift of life, Lord. We just pray for all those who are in mourning. We lift up the McIntosh family before you tonight, Lord. Pray that you would send them your comfort and your strength and your refuge, Lord. We just thank you for all the many blessings, the many things, and the good things in life, Lord. Pray that you would always send us in that way, Lord, that we would look toward the good, that we would see the good in people and see the good in the things that are happening. I pray that you would bless our nation, Lord, that you would take care of us, that you would meet our every needs, Lord, and that you would show us favor and that you would prosper us. in a way that it's not only financially, but in our hearts, Lord. Pray that you touch our spirits tonight, that you guide and direct us in all that we do. Just say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.